Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Hi, I'm Baylen Leonard. This is a special edition of the Country Music Talk podcast. It's part of Mental Health Awareness Week. We at Absolute Radio Country think it's really important to be open about how you're feeling and to have conversations about your mental health. And we know also that that's sometimes easier said than done. It can sometimes be very difficult. But we want to let you know that if you need help or advice on how you're feeling with your own mental health, then you can head to absoluteradio.co.uk/time to listen. On today's episode, I catch up with two country music stars who have openly struggled with their mental health, Danielle Bradbury and Chase McDaniel. They join me during Mental Health Awareness Week to tell their stories.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
I'm Baylen Leonard. It's Absolute Radio Country, and it's Mental Health Awareness Week here in the UK. And it's a time when we remember just how important it is to talk about how we're feeling, if we're feeling okay, and also to remind ourselves that sometimes it's okay to not be okay and to check in on your friends and see how they are. And one friend of ours who is a firm friend of Absolute Radio Country, it's a woman who has been making music for a decade. She's been touring with some of the biggest stars, experiencing huge successes with multiple gold-selling singles. Danielle Bradbury, who has also recently opened up about her struggles with anxiety. And she even released a song to let others who are struggling realize that they're not alone. This is a wonderful thing, Danielle. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's not always easy to open up and talk about our own mental health or our stresses or our anxieties, but an important thing to do, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I strongly encourage it.
As a station, we're really big on this stuff. And all of us who are hosts on the station are encouraged to, as much as we're comfortable with, to talk about our own anxieties and mental health and things like that. And the thing that I've found, and I'm assuming you found this as well, is that actually, even though it's hard to do, once you do it, A, it feels like a burden has been lifted, and B, you get so many people saying, I feel this way as well.
Oh yeah, that was definitely a big thing when I released the song. I thought about all of those things. Talking about it and letting it out is one thing, and it does release so much pressure off of yourself and off of your heart and mind, but it also brings this whole community of people right next to you and in front of you, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I'm not crazy for feeling like this all the time. Like I feel like I'm not alone finally. And so that was something that I wanted to really put out there, and something I kind of discovered on my own. And then putting the song out, I'm like, I want people to feel that feeling of being like, oh my gosh, like, thank goodness that I am not just me and by myself in this feeling that I'm feeling. So I think it's definitely important to bring it to attention and talk about, and it brings everyone together.
Monster, we should say, is the song that we are talking about here. I think the last time that we had you on the show, it was your single, A Special Place, which we are still loving and we're still playing. So congratulations on the success of that, both here in the UK, but also in the States as well, because it's starting to climb the charts, right?
Yes, I keep getting updates about it, you know, climbing up the charts slowly. And I'm like, keep going.
Yeah, keep on going. Yeah. It's amazing how long it can take sometimes. You can push a song out there and it has like a moment where it's out, and then weeks, months down the line, it's still having resonance with people. More and more people are hearing about it, and it continues to climb the charts.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing.
And Monster, this song that we were just talking about, your latest, where you're kind of addressing your anxiety. I think maybe you and I have talked about this before. I'm always so in awe and kind of envious of artists such as yourself that it's basically therapy and working through your own things in a song, in an art form that then you're putting out there and helping loads of other people with. Did it come easy to write this song, or you know, did it come pouring out of you, or was it something that you had to be like, okay, here we go?
Yeah, it really did pour out in the best way possible. I was in Los Angeles writing, and I took a week to write there, and I had one consistent writer with me. Her name is Lauren. She's a good friend of mine, and she was with me in every write. And I wrote this the last day I was supposed to fly back to Nashville. Previous, they were just trying to get upbeat songs and fun songs, which is awesome. And we wrote a few here and there, but it just wasn't where my heart and mind was at. And I was dealing with the anxiety behind those closed doors. And I just didn't feel like it was the right rooms to bring it up in. And here comes the last day. And it's just me, Lauren, and the producer. And me and Lauren, I was like, Lauren, can we just write about anxiety, please? And she was like, yes, absolutely. Because it's something that she related to as well. And, you know, again, her being a close friend to me, I was texting her the night before. And I was texting her about a certain situation. And I literally texted her, I just keep waking up with the feeling in my gut. It's the first line of the song, Monster. You know, we wrote it in about maybe 45 to 50 minutes. It was really quick. And like I said, it just kind of poured out of us and poured out of me. It was so relieving to like finally write something that was something I was actually feeling in the moment. It was a really cool situation. The timing of it was crazy. We recorded it. I jumped in the vocal booth and I texted my manager, hey, I'm recording it. You can come and pick me up now. And by the time you get here, I'll be done with it. She goes, okay, that was quick. And so, yeah, by the time she got in the driveway, I had 5 minutes left and I put some like last minute touches on the vocal and then I left. It was the fastest ride I think I've ever done.
Wow. And one of the most impactful it will be, I think, probably as well, because of the way that people relate to this. You know, it's interesting that you were saying you were doing a few days of writes and you were in these rooms where they were looking for party songs and upbeat songs and all that, and that you didn't feel like you could bring that up. And actually, that kind of mirrors real life in a lot of ways, because there'll be times when any of us are feeling stress or anxiety or depressed or whatever it might be. And you'll think, I don't want to bring the room down. I don't want to bring my friend down. I don't want to burden other people with how I'm feeling. But ultimately, there's probably never a right time to bring this stuff up. You just have to kind of be with the people that you know and trust and love and feel safe enough to talk about this stuff, whether it's writing the song or whether it's talking to your friend about something that's going on in your life.
Yeah, that definitely puts a big picture on not just the rights. Like it definitely is a reflection of life. But yeah, the last day was just the right time with the right people. And it was just her and I. Basically, Sam was kind of messing around on the piano and kind of letting us talk and let it out. And so she was in a funk as well that day. And it was like you said, just perfect timing and perfect interaction.
Are you one of these people that kind of checks in with your friends or that have people checking in on you? Because I think a lot of times it's easy for us as a society to kind of, assuming you're all right, we're fine, we're moving on, like not actually saying, are you okay? There's a weird line between kind of being super earnest about it and being throwaway about it. But I find that it is really important to check in with friends. Do you find that?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think it's so important. And I do. I will have moments too where I'll go about my day and I'll just have someone in particular really heavy on my heart at the moment. And I haven't talked to them in a while, or I don't really know them too well. Like I'm that type of person where if you pop on my mind or I keep thinking about you, I'm like, that's kind of my sign to be like, hey, you are on my heart today. Like, just hope you're doing well. And I'm thinking of you. And the amount of responses of like, oh my God, you have no idea how much I needed this. you know, I needed to hear this. Thank you. Like, thank you for reaching out. I mean, if you really feel that feeling, and that happens to me all the time, I don't know what it is. I will think of certain people and, you know, I mean, my friends too, my best friends, and I'm constantly talking to my family, which I'm super thankful for. I'm always, you know, how are you? Hi, you know, love you, you know, just throwing all those out there. I think it's really important.
And it sounds really simple, doesn't it? To check in with somebody and just go, thinking about you, hope you're okay. How are you doing? But I think because everybody is so busy all the time, and I think even sometimes you think, well, I don't have anything to specifically say to them. I'm just wanting to say hi, but I don't want to interrupt their day. It's a good reminder that actually you're not interrupting their day. They might really need to hear that. And even if they're not in a dark place or anything like that, it's also just really lovely to know that somebody's thinking about you.
Oh yeah. And for me personally, when I'm, you know, you just said it, like if I'm having like a really busy day and I'm going and I haven't really looked at my phone. And when I do pick up my phone for that split second and I see, hey, thinking of you, how are you? Or even a simple, hey, like just people yeah, thinking and just texting you. I'm like, okay. And it kind of brings me out of that chaos for a second. And that could be, you know, relatable to so many other people of the go, go, go. And if you forget to check on people, that's fine. Like you're not obligated to, and I do that. Like I forget and you're not responsible to, you know, constantly be on top of it. But if you do think about it, if you do have that feeling in your heart or think of that person or, you know, feel like checking in, just do it.
It's great advice because I'm sure people listening right now that there'll be somebody that they're thinking about and maybe you're thinking, oh, I'll send them a text later. Just do it now. A simple hi, it could really make someone's day. How are you feeling now? Did you get, you know, obviously you got a lot of it out in this song, but all of this stuff dealing with anxiety and all the rest of it is an ongoing kind of lifelong process. Presumably it was a big help, but still, you know, doesn't mean that it magically goes away. How are you feeling now?
You know, I feel good. Today's a good day,
good.
Which
good.
Is great. You know, it comes in waves. It really does. And people that have the same thing or feel the same things, it can relate. It does go in waves. And sometimes it lasts a few days in a row, or sometimes it kind of heavily comes on one day and then goes away the next. But so far, it's been good. I had a week not long ago that was a little bit heavier than others. And you just kind of have to remind yourself that the end is near.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
And just you're having, you know, a bad day or you're having a bad few days. And it's not going to be like this forever. You just kind of had to live in that and accept it. And it'll come to peace at, you know, by the end of it. For me personally, if I try to fight it and fight that it goes away and kind of shove it down, that's when I feel the worst.
Yes.
So
sometimes you have to just feel your way through it. And that doesn't necessarily mean wallowing in it. You don't have to ignore it. You don't have to wallow in it. Sometimes you just have to be like, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. You know, hopefully, I mean, it sounds like you have, and I have, and if you're listening and you haven't realized this yet, what I've realized is like, okay, I'm feeling this way now. I'm not going to feel this way forever. This is a moment. And this moment might last a day, it might last a few days. But the one thing that I do know is that I will also have really good days and I will also feel really good again at some point. And I just have to hang on to that and go, okay, I'm feeling this way now. I'm not going to feel this way forever. Thank you for this, by the way. Thank you for opening up about it. Thank you for the song Monster, which we're going to play in just a moment. But just before I let you go, you know, we catch up a lot. What's the latest? What's next? When are you coming back? What's going on? Anything we need to know?
You know, by the looks of releasing Monster, I am working on a lot of new music right now. And that's always exciting to finally say. And I, you know, CMA Fest is coming up.
Yep.
We're with Jordan Davis in September. But I keep saying this, I'm like, as soon as they give me the green light to like book travel, book the dates and everything to come back there, I'm like, please just just let me know. I'm ready. I'm ready to come back.
Well, we are ready too. So let us know when they let you know, and we will look forward to it. Always a pleasure. Thank you for catching up with us, and thank you for this song.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
I'm Baylen Leonard, and this is Absolute Radio Country. And you know, we always want to have conversations here about some of the more challenging parts of our lives, and whether that's talking about the lack of diversity in country music or the representation of women in the genre. We want to be open. We want to be honest about those challenges. And it's Mental Health Awareness Week here in the UK. And at Absolute Radio Country, we always think it's important to be able to talk about how we're feeling and also to remember that it's okay to not be okay. And it's really important to reach out to others when they might need your help. And one artist who's a friend of ours has been really open about their own struggles with mental health and struggling with anxiety and depression from a young age, but also is a rising star in Nashville. It's the man behind Drop Your Tailgate and Your Daughter. And you might have seen him at C2C this year. It's our buddy Chase McDaniel. Hey, Chase.
What is up? I'm so happy to see your face again.
It's so nice to see you as well. It was really great to meet you when you were over for C2C. And we had you in the studio, and then we had some quality time at C2C. And of course, you had more quality time making loads of fans at C2C. How was that trip for you?
I just enjoyed seeing London and meeting the people and experiencing the culture. And I've spent a week there. So, I mean, it was a pretty good little trip. I wish I had a couple more days.
Yeah.
But, you know, the shows were fantastic. The fans or the listeners at the festival were awesome because they just give you their undivided attention. It was really special to have some of those songs kind of represented in a particular mood. Was really, really nice and appropriate for some of those more important songs, I think.
Yeah, and also the career hasn't happened quite quickly, but that moment in your life was quite quick because it wasn't that long that you had actually been signed to a big label before they packed you on a train and sent you off to London. So that must have been a bit of a whirlwind in a great way, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it had been a week maybe.
right.
I signed the dotted line on a Dropbox and got the text like, hey, have you ever been to London? And I was like, I haven't. And they were like, well, do you want to? I was like, absolutely. So, and then they threw me on a writer's round with three superstars, Midland, Lady A, and Thomas Rhett. And my heart was over 100 all week, my heart rate.
So, oh, yeah, that. Of course. There was that songwriter's round before actual C2. Yeah, I hosted that. And like you said, it was Lady A, it was Thomas Rhett, it was Midland, and this guy that nobody had heard of. And I say that with love, Chase McDaniel. But the great thing about that, Chase, is like, and I told you this at the time, you absolutely held your own during that. And you made so many fans and won that room over completely.
Thank you. You know, it's probably one of the first times in my life that an anxiety attack has been appropriate.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think if you're going to have one.
And all those experiences kind of prepared me for that, to be like, okay, this is how you deal with this, and you still move through it, and nobody has to know some of these times, you know?
Yeah, well, you seemed cool as a cucumber. I know that inside you didn't feel that way, but you certainly came across that way. Speaking of some of your music connecting with people when you were over, your incredible track, Your Daughter, which we've been playing a lot on Absolute Radio Country, is such a beautiful song, and I know you've told the story behind it before, and it's for your sister, but for those who haven't heard it, tell us about that.
You know, most everyone who hears it for the first time just assumes that it's about a girlfriend, and who wouldn't, you know, until you hear the last line of the chorus. You know, you think it's maybe to an ex-boyfriend who was had hurt them. But in all truth, it was about my sister and inspired by her. You know, growing up, our dad was an addict, and he chose to let go of his life when she was 7. And I watched her grow up in that environment. I was the oldest, and I didn't have anybody to talk to either. So, we were kind of there for each other, and writing that song took me so long because I just wanted to get it right. Like I had this idea over the pandemic, you know, and it was just like, something about this is special. It's important. And I feel like it's unique in the way that it is authentically just such a huge part of my story, and getting to tell it, getting to sing it at my shows now, and then talking to people in the meet and greets and hearing them tell me that, hey, this song like changed their lives or their relationship with some of those memories from home. And you just realize that there's nothing more important than writing music that matters to you. And then you get the opportunity to see that connect with other people, and you realize that you're not alone. So it's been an experience for me to meet other people who've been through some of the same things and be connected to the world in that way, which has really been powerful, I think, on a dynamic spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, talking of it being Mental Health week here in the UK, talking about it, of course, but also art as well. And what you're talking about, you know, making this art that is so personal to you, and things that happen to you that your logical mind knows that they happen to a lot of people, but you can still feel so alone in them when it's happening to you because it's so personal. But then it somehow makes you feel less alone to kind of put that out there and be vulnerable in that way. And that stuff, it's not easy to talk about, and I'd imagine it's not easy to sing about either.
Yeah, you know, and I think that kind of happens on a subconscious level. I'm not necessarily thinking about it as I'm singing about it, sometimes even when I'm talking about it, but there is a reaction still happening in my body and my brain, and right. I'm experiencing something that's highly reactive. And I've just kind of had to learn over the years of dealing with that, how to be cool as a cucumber, as you say. You know, I kind of had to become a master of disguise in order to chase down something in a career that I thought could help impact a lot of people. And I've been very fortunate in the last couple of years to really turn a corner and see the light at the end of that tunnel. And the biggest part of my mission now is to take that light, go back into the tunnel and show everybody that it exists, you know, and to try to take them out of that tunnel with me. So, you know, there's some really, really cool things that humans do. And I think my favorite thing that we do is we go through some things that are really, really tough. And then we have a perspective that we're able to go help somebody who's going through some of the same things that we went through. I just don't think that there's anything cooler or anything more noble that we can do with our lives. So.
And I think it's also important to point out that you got to help yourself before you can help others. You know, we hear that a lot. And of course, it's almost become a cliche, but it's absolutely true, because there's one thing in kind of learning coping mechanisms and processing it and going through it and feeling it and coming out the other side of it a better and a stronger person. But that doesn't mean ignoring it and pushing it down. I mean, I think kind of part of that process is actually, which is the scary part of it, really going into it and really feeling it and really confronting it head on.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And I think that is, that's the adventurer's journey. You know, I think that's the journey of going back to dealing with some of those things that come back up, you know, into your mind when you get a little older, because, you know, you grow up and you develop these survival strategies. And just because, you know, some of these things happen and you're just trying to make it out alive. And then it works for a while until it doesn't. Yeah. Then you have to find another way that that works. And that might mean having to deal with those things. And it did for me. But it was necessary, because had I not ever done that, I could never be in the position that I'm in now. If I was still in the depths of that of those trenches, there's no way I would have the space, like you said, to give what I don't have to somebody else. And so now it's so important for me to keep myself in a healthy space so that I can, you know, do that.
So how are some, obviously through art and through writing and expressing and connecting with people and all that, but are there some more kind of like practical things that you do? I mean, one of the, you know, I have anxiety, and one of the things that I do is, you know, I've really gotten into meditation and visualization and you know, breathing exercises and things like that. Do you have actual things like that that you dig into as well?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And that's really cool that we share that. Meditation was kind of brought to me a few years ago. And at the time, I mean, it was life-changing. You're from East Tennessee, I'm from Kentucky. You hear the word meditation and you're thinking, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. That's crazy. I don't want to touch that.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I got this app called Calm, and that's not a sponsorship by any means, because there's a lot of great, you know, apps where you can find
it. Yeah, I have that app as well. I have Headspace. Yeah. I've got them all.
Yeah, you tried them. Yeah, that's awesome.
You got to find one that works for you, right?
Exactly. And I found a few that just seemed to say the right things, I think, in order to put me in a headspace that was just appropriate for calming down. And then once you then find, oh, this is what a calm headspace feels like with a absence of fear, you're like, I want to feel like that all the time. I forgot that life could feel that good.
Well, yeah, because you end up thinking, if you're in a state of anxiety or depression or whatever it might be that you're dealing with, you can be in it long enough that you think it's normal. Like, you end up thinking like, oh, you don't know any other way of living. And so when you do find something that works for you, you suddenly go, oh, okay. Yeah.
One of the toughest roadblocks when you're in it is that you have this feeling of permanence. You know, it's like I don't remember what it was even like back before I felt this way. And I don't even know what it would be like to feel good again. I don't see an end to this, and I don't know how to find that way out.
Yeah, I don't even know how to find a way to start to get out of this yet.
And so much of my message, especially at my shows, goes out to those people, because, you know, I think through it all, like, what I did right, if I did anything right, because I don't think that, you know, I'm special in any way, is just that I stayed curious.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout all of it, I had some really low times where I depended on other humans, other people that kept me alive. Absolutely. There were times that were so dark that I couldn't have kept going on just my own accord.
Yeah.
But, you know, once I got through the darkest parts of that that journey, I was in a space to say, okay, I'm dedicated to living and figuring out how to get through this. And so I spent 5-6 years in that process of just staying curious, trying to find something that works. So I read all kinds of books, and I obviously went to therapy, went to counseling, I took all the medications, and in doing that, you know, I found what worked for me. And so yeah, I think that's a big message for no matter how long it's been, there is a way out for everyone, and life can feel good again. That's a heavy thing that weighed on my mind that I needed to hear back then.
I agree with that. And I think it's also important to point out to people, which I always do, is it's not necessarily a quick fix. You know, it takes work as well, but the work is absolutely worth it. And if you try something and that doesn't work for you, that's okay. Find something else. You will find something, you know, like meditation. I just thought my mind is too busy. I can't meditate. My mind is far too busy for this. I'm never going to find this kind of sense of clarity or peace or what, you know, whatever it is. And I heard this one meditation. I actually, my dad died, and I very oddly, Chase, after the kind of initial 5 minutes of shock, I was alone in a hotel room in Nashville when I found this out. I put on my meditation app because I thought, I have to slow down. I don't have anything to grasp onto at the moment. I've got to slow my head down for this. And I put on this meditation for grief. And it said, one of the things I think that has helped me the most, not just in grief, but in life, when you've got a really busy mind, it said, you know what, if you can't count your breaths, if you can't count them to 10, just count to 1 and then start over again. Just count to 2 and start over again at 1. And that sounds really simplistic, and it sounds like, how could that help me? But it really did, you know, because there are sometimes that your head is so, or my head anyway, is so busy that I don't know how to slow it down, right? So if I tried to count my breaths to 10, I would get lost around 3. But if I can count my breaths to 2, then I've done something, and I can just keep doing that over and over again. So I would just say to anybody who is out there and who's looking for something, or who is needing some help, it takes work, but it's worth it. You will find something that works for you, and you'll be really glad you did. For more help and advice, you can head to absoluteradio.co.uk/time to listen. Chase, thanks so much for being with us here and being so open about the things that you deal with and how you deal with them. And I think it's really important for people to hear, because, you know, it's easy for, regardless of how you feel about yourself or about your career, there are people that will look at you, put you on a pedestal, and think he's got it made. He's got this life that I only dream of having. And I think it's important for people to realize that everybody deals with stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually a pressure in and of itself, is the outside is so deceiving. And we live in a world now where everything is a highlight reel. And even as a musician, you know, I'm not going to post the bad days. You know, I think the team would be pretty unhappy with that if I did, you know. But, you know, and also what's going on in the outside world is not necessarily a reflection of what's happening internally ever. Yeah. Although things might be really good right now, they might not have been good 10 years ago. And you might have never dealt with some things that were going on 10 years ago. Thank you for bringing up the loss of your dad. That was something for me and everyone, like dealing with the loss of someone so close to you, regardless of what your relationship was, can absolutely sweep you off your feet. And it did for me, but I didn't deal with it. You know, at the time, I had no skills of how to manage grief, of how to just cope with just a massive loss. And so I think, you know, the first step for anyone taking that first breath is to say, hey, I'm dealing with a lot, and that's worthy of having compassion for myself enough to take a step to start dealing with this. Because I think where a lot of guys start initially is I've got it all together. I've got it handled. I don't need help. I don't want to ruin my reputation. I don't want anybody to know that I'm not super tough. It's like, what is this thing about being tough and just being honest? I kept that inside for 2 decades, you know, and there's just so much energy that gets trapped in your body when you're holding the truth inside you. I saw a quote the other day on my Instagram feed. It's like, you know, you're hurting because you're too full of the truth. You got to let it out. And I don't know why it just stuck with me the last couple of days. I really love that. You know, it's like when you let some of that out, when you let some of that energy out, one, you'll find that you're not alone. Two, you might find somebody who's already dealt with it or been dealing with it. And you start the healing process, which is really necessary for you to feel like I feel most days now, where I wake up and I don't have that, you know, impending doom panic that was lasting 24/7, you know, and then also with a coexisting depression.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important for people to hear that from all walks of life, you know, and also for people to know you can deal with it at your own pace. You know, there's no one answer, but there are answers out there. That's the important thing. Again, if you need help and advice, it's absoluteradio.co.uk/time-to-listen. Hey, let's talk about tailgate party. Let's talk about drop the tailgate because we absolutely love it here on Absolute Radio Country. And you re-recorded a version of Drop Your Tailgate for our tailgate party. So basically you're kind of like the theme song for that. That feels great. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. It just seemed like the most perfect fit. So I was happy to team up with Absolute Radio Country.
Now, so for anybody who is kind of under the illusion that you kind of like happened overnight, that obviously isn't what happened, but this song, Drop Your Tailgate, it did have a pretty speedy take up once you put it out into the world, right?
Yeah, I've had quite a bit of luck, to be honest. You know, for what there's this invisible thing called the social media algorithm. No one knows what it is. No one knows what it does. It's just kind of this invisible hand that floats and then chooses somebody every now and again. And I guess I've just been really fortunate to be picked a few times. I put out a few videos on it and it just it kind of took off and I was like, okay, this is a cool sound. I guess people like it. And you know, I was just trying to make a big impact on the world and get people to drop those tailgates, I guess. So.
Well, it worked. Is it fair to say that's the song that kind of opened up your career for you?
Maybe. Yeah. I it was only like the third or fourth song I released. Cause I mean, I only have like four or five songs. Out right now. So, but yeah, I remember writing it with my producer and he had this really cool track going because he loves the fish. And we actually went fishing in Charleston last week and, he was dropping the tailgate of his truck to get the fishing poles out. And we're always teasing each other. Like, cause he's like one of those guys, I think you've heard like Phineas, who's like Billie Eilish's producer.
Yes,
talk about.
Yes. Yeah.
He'll take sounds in the house, like a light switch or like a fork hitting a pan. And he's like, oh, I gotta record that and then use it in a song. So I was just teasing him and he dropped the tailgate on the truck. And I was like, dude, that sounds like a bass drop. And he actually recorded it and put it in the track. And then we wrote that song. But yeah, I laugh in my head thinking, you know, I just hope someone's going down the road listening to that and is inspired to drop their tailgate. You know, my tailgate's been up for all these years. And now I think I got to drop it low. So.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do it now. I've been inspired by this song. Well, you know, music, it makes people do all kinds of things. So you mentioned there, you know, not a lot of songs out at the moment. Obviously, you've been over to the UK. So loads of people wanted me to ask you when you're coming back. Tell us about new music. Like, what do we need to know? What's next up for you?
Well, I got to tell you, I would love to come back to the UK. And I've already been texting everybody saying, hey, is there anything over there that I can come back to? but yeah, I've been writing a ton. We're trying to figure out what the next steps are. And move forward to put out, whether it's an EP, an album, because I think the biggest thing is I just got to get more music out. You know, we put a few songs out that I was just so fortunate, and I can't say that enough, to do very well on the independent side of things. And then I had an amazing team called Big Machine Records come in and say, hey, we love what you're doing. We'd like to elevate it. And so it's just been a great partnership. I met with Scott Borchetta, who, you know, started the Music Has Value campaign. And I remember seeing that T-shirt on, like, you know, American Idol when I was a kid. And I was like, I don't know who that guy is, but like, if he thinks music has value, then I want to be where he is someday, you know, and played a few songs for him. And he was just like, hey, what you're doing really matters. And he took just so much time to tell me how important it was. And so I just knew immediately that was where I was supposed to be. And so the last few months we've been working on new music and just trying to bring music to the world that has value and matters. you know, and can make an impact on people.
Well, I'm so glad you are. And I know so many fans in the UK are as well. Hopefully you'll get back over here real soon. We would love to have you, and it sounds like you'd love to be over. So surely that will happen at some point. We'll keep an ear out for the new music. In the meantime, we've got the music that is out there at the moment that we're still loving. And it's always nice to see when a good guy makes it. So congratulations on that. And thanks for being so open about everything that you've been through and everything that you go through. It's really appreciated.
Oh man, we've great minds think alike, and thank you for having me anytime. I'd love to be on to talk, and thanks for playing my music. Thanks everybody for listening. And yeah, thanks Baylen for having me.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thank you so much for listening to this special Country Music Talk Podcast as part of Mental Health Awareness Week. For more help and advice, you can head over to absoluteradio.co.uk/time to listen.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.